Welcome back to another Edge Guide In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button and joining us today at Edge Guide In. If you haven't already, we encourage you to go to your podcast app and look for Edge Guide In. This way you'll be able to be kept up to date. We usually will release a new podcast every Friday. You can also visit us at edgegodin.com. You'll find with each podcast, there are some support resources, including a one page that you can print out and use for Bible study to be able to capture the learnings. You can also visit us on our Facebook page. Just type in Edge God In. Today's title is How to Discern a Heart Connection to God. The learning objective by the end of today's podcast, it's our desire that you will be able to explore for yourself your heart connection, not only your heart connection to God, but your heart and mouth connection as it relates to discernment. How do you discern which way to go in life? How do you discern your relationship with God? You'll also learn to recognize, raise your awareness to be able to recognize what's good fruit and what is bad fruit. Am I producing good fruit in my life, or am I producing bad fruit in my life? You'll have the opportunity to explore that. Our mission statement at Edge God In is to champion your human potential in Christ. To champion your human potential in Christ. We know that we cannot give out effectively to the world to be an ambassador for Christ unless we have had a personal encounter within. Inside the castle, as I'll often say. Our desire for you today is, after listening to today's podcast, that you will feel within your heart a deeper understanding of what it looks like and feels like and sounds like when it comes to God's connection to you and what He desires for you to carry out in your life on a day-to-day basis. To be that ambassador for Christ. When people see you, do they see Jesus? Do you have the same mindset as Jesus Christ in your relationships? How do you know if you do? Well, our mouths are the first place to indicate what's going on within our hearts. So we'll take a closer look at that. And as with every podcast, come as you are. Jesus adores you. He's after you. There is no mistake that you're listening to today's podcast. He wants to meet you right where you're at, and He's incredible at not wanting to leave us where we're at, but to encourage us to pick up our mat wherever we are and to step into the waters of unfamiliarity sometimes so that we become more reliant on God within us than we are on the external world. So what makes up your mat today that you're bringing to today's podcast? Perhaps it's a bad attitude. An attitude is a fixed state of mind. Perhaps you're focusing on what's not working out for you versus what is, and that's spilling out of your mouth. Perhaps your mat has to do with fear of the future or regrets from the past. Perhaps it's the need to know or be in control, and you're feeling out of control in your life today. Either way, this is a touchstone moment for you to come back in the castle and reconnect to the lover of your soul. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to guide us today. I know this, that if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, this podcast will not be anointed and it will not go well. So let's begin in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, thank you for waking us up today. You obviously have plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. Give us the grace of discernment. To be able to discern our heart connection with you. Show us what that looks like. What does it look like for each of us individually to connect to you? What do you want us to do more of? What do you want us to do less of in order to really have that strong spark of your life within our hearts, so much so that it directly impacts the words we say, the facial expressions we use, our body language, our intonation. We want to make you recognizable in this world, now more than ever. resurrect the parts of us that perhaps have gotten lost along the way because we got hijacked by the shiny objects, by power, possessions, popularity, positions, all of the things that the devil tried to tempt you with in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4. And you constantly overcame by using the power of the word. Give us the strength to lean into your word today and really see how you communicated with and how you fellowshipped with three incredible prophets from the Old Testament. We dedicate ourselves to you. Have your way with us, Lord, more today than yesterday. We desire to edge you in our words, our thoughts, our deeds, and our actions. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have your Bibles, then join me in Exodus. Exodus is one of the first of the five books of the Bible. It is right after Genesis. And Exodus is known for its name, the Great Exodus. Moses is the prophet who led the Jews out of slavery. This is the story that perhaps you're very familiar with. There's actually a lot of different movies that have captured, beautifully captured, the story of the Great Exodus. The Bible, I know, in the movie format did an incredible job of doing that. Moses is called by God beyond himself. We know that Moses was put in a basket, that Pharaoh's daughter found him, raised him as her own son. Something woke up inside of Moses when he realized that where he came from, and he saw the oppression of his people. He ended up having a little anger management issue hit him when he killed, actually, one of Pharaoh's officers in an attempt to save one of his fellow brothers in Christ, or brothers in God. Well, Christ was always with him, so I can say that, and that is true. And then he fled because the word got out. Moses killed somebody. And the next day after that happened, one of his brothers called him out and said, "Are you going to kill me like you killed the soldier the other day?" And so he fled. Are you running today? Is there something you're running from today? We recently posted a podcast called the Jonah Syndrome. Do you suffer from the Jonah Syndrome? If you're running from something in your life, listen to that podcast after this one. So Moses ran, which is often our fleshly response. We want to run. We either fight, flight, or freeze when we're in the stress response. Stress is the power you give, or I give, to outside circumstance to define your worth, value, and what you believe you're capable of handling successfully. We get into trouble when we try to handle life successfully from our own efforts. When we unite our heart to God's heart, we lack nothing. And that's where Philippians 4:13 starts to really take center stage in our lives, that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That when we have the mindset of Christ in our relationships are transformed. Moses ran, one of the main prophets. God was after him. God is after you today. Wherever you're at, bring your crumb of a loaf of bread and your half-eaten fish. God is in the business of multiplying what you have. Bring what you have. Even if you don't feel like it's enough, it's always enough. Just a glance is enough to move the heart of God to run and meet you, just like the prodigal son and the father's heart moved to meet him after he wandered. So Moses was wandering in the desert. And then God called him. He went up to the mountain. He saw the burning bush and had a conversation with Moses. So that brings us to Exodus chapter 4. And Moses is encountering God. And Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent," because God is asking him, "Hey, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to go in. I want you to deliver my people." Moses pushes back. Is there something in your life that you feel God is calling you to do, and yet you're experiencing fear, self-doubt, worry? You're not alone, my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is why our focus today is to lean into three very human prophets. Where do you identify yourself as we're exploring each prophet? So this is Moses. He got the calling. He's like, I'm not up for the challenge, not remembering that whatever God calls us to, that he will give us the grace and the strength to do it. So he's having this conversation in chapter 3. That's of Exodus. That's the famous burning bush. And then it moves into chapter 4, which are the signs, because Moses is doubting. So there's self-doubt. And God says, well, hey, throw your staff to the ground. It turns into a snake. Grab it. Comes back. So this is the God that we serve, who adores you. You. He is after you today. And he goes to great extents to get your attention, just as he did for Moses. Moses kept pushing back. Perhaps you can relate to that today. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, in verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10, I've never been eloquent. So we're getting back to our topic today, how to discern a heart connected to God. Our learning objective is to explore the heart and mouth connection as it relates to your connection with God and discernment. Moses says, hey, I can't really speak. Some people say that he had a stuttering situation going on. He said, I'm slow of speech and tongue. God knows where you're at. He knows your weaknesses. It's no shocker to the Lord. And toss it into the lap of Christ, whatever it is today. Because this is what the Lord was moving Moses to do. Do you trust me, Moses? Can you trust me to accomplish a greater good than beyond what you can imagine? God's asking you that same question today. Can you trust him beyond what you can imagine? So the Lord's response in verse 11 was, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or dumb? Who gives him sight and makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Now, I forgot to do it on this podcast, but what I like to do, and this is part of adult learning, how to learn new information, transfer it, make it applicable and sustainable. As you're listening to the rest of this podcast, ask the Holy Spirit, what are three things that are for me? Like I said, there's no accident you're listening in today. God has something for you. Ask the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit, what is for me today? Make this study come alive for me. So when I walk away, that I'm closer to you. And perhaps it'll be this verse that is your takeaway, one to three things. And this is again, Exodus chapter 4, verse 12. Now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. I find this interesting. I've been in the stress management field for over 20 years now. And one of the biggest fears, because fear is directly linked to stress in the body, is public speaking. Death is still coming in around 3 or 4. Public speaking is the number one fear that people have, to speak in public. Can you relate to that today? Moses certainly could. Don't worry about it. God says, I'll help you speak. I will teach you what to say. But Moses again comes back. Oh, Lord, please send somebody else. Perhaps you can relate to that. God's calling you into leading something you haven't led before, giving a presentation, a PowerPoint, speaking to the youth or speaking up to one of your children, having the courage and you're worried about, I don't know what to say. I want to make sure that I don't make a mistake. That's self-doubt and God overrides it, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Ask for the strength and the grace for God to do exactly what he promised to do for Moses. He promises to do the same for you and for me today. Before I do any of these podcasts, I get on my knees because I know that if I don't ask for God's wisdom to give me the words to say, it will fall flat and the anointing will not be on it. Before you speak, before you teach, before you have those difficult conversations in life, or even those conversations you want to have to make a deeper connection with your spouse, your friends, your children, your family, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Moses says, can you send someone else? Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother? It's interesting here because we're told that his anger is burning toward Moses. And in the midst of that anger, he still offers a solution. This is the kind of God we serve. In his anger, he still says, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. So there's a lot of great intel here, because this gives you some insight into the character of God. And you can discern his depth of understanding of your life. He knows who's going to come see you, who's going to talk to you. He knows that they're going to be glad to see you or they're not. This is why we often turn to people as our first go-to when things aren't working out, whereas God knows it all. So he gives the solution. What about your brother Aaron? You shall speak to him and put his words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. So this is, again, another teaching for us to remember when we're considering our mouth, that God will put in our mouth the words to say when we need to say it, how we need to say it, and to whom we need to say it to. He will speak to the people for you. This is God's continued dissertation to Moses after he says, hey, can you pick someone else? So he doesn't let Moses run from his calling. He just provides a support system. What's your calling in life? What are your support systems around that calling, internally, externally, environmentally? So Aaron's on his way to be a support system to Moses. God's promises, what's our takeaway from our first prophet today? God will give you the words to say, how to say it, how to speak. Moses ended up delivering the people from the hand of Pharaoh, freeing, that's why it's called the Great Exodus, freeing God's people and leading them into the promised land. Although he didn't enter himself, he led them to the promised land. And he also promises to give us the resources. Verse 17, but take the staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. God is our ultimate source for resources when it comes to finding solutions to whatever it is that's troubling your heart today. God desires to offer you resources, support resources to move through it. So that's Moses. Moses experienced God putting his words in the mouth of his support system, Aaron. He also promised to teach each one, put them in their mouth, the words to say, when facing Pharaoh. So who's your Pharaoh today that you're facing? What's your Pharaoh that you're facing? Ask God to give you the words to say, intonation, how to say it, as well as support systems so that you can be brave. After going through advanced cancer and divorce at the same time, I don't remember who told me this, but I remember someone saying, you know, everything is sent in life to make you fearless, depending upon how you receive it. One of the coaching questions that you can ask yourself whenever you're going through a difficult time is, what do you want me to learn from this, God, to make me courageous, to up my trust factor? What is it you want me to learn? God's always after our growth and development. He's always after that calling that Jesus did many times. Get up, stand up, leave behind, press forward, grab a hold, pick up your mat. Now moving forward, he has plans for you beyond what you can comprehend. So let's move to the second rock star prophet, and that's Isaiah. So who the heck was Isaiah? So his main message of Isaiah, he's another incredible prophet from the Old Testament. He spoke to the coming of Christ and some of the specific details about Christ. He was a prophet. understand that as a prophet, there is that heart connection, right? You're his ambassador. So this isn't something just special for Isaiah and Moses. This is available to you as a follower of Christ, that he promises to be with you always, to help you tune into available resources. I remember when I was told I had 5 years to live at 38 years old with 3 young kids, even after 2 years of chemo and 6 weeks of daily radiation and 14 surgeries and a bunch of setbacks, I remember hitting my knees after I found out that in spite of all that treatment, my life could be ended a lot sooner than I thought. 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43 years old. I'm 53 today. God is good. But I remember praying to God and asking him to help me to tune into all available resources to heal. And then he started coming into my life with all kinds of different natural resources. And I actually mentioned this before in other podcasts, but I put together a one sheet of everything that God crossed my path with and put it together, because I've had a lot of people ask me, well, what did you do to like conquer advanced cancer in addition to traditional medicine? And so I put this one sheet together. If you're interested in getting the one sheet, you can simply email me at laurenemiller7@gmail.com. That's my personal email, laurenemiller7@gmail.com, and simply say, hey, I heard on the podcast, I'd like to get that one sheet, and I'm happy to share that with you, and you can pass that along. God is all about giving you the resources you need to be able to successfully handle and conquer whatever life brings. He promises to do that. So ask for it. Ask, seek, knock. We don't receive because we don't ask. So the main message in Isaiah is really he talks to the people about the judgment of God's, the judgment actually that's on God's people. But he follows up quite frequently about the ultimate salvation that's available. So before he jumps into the dissertation of Isaiah, which is so powerful, incredibly, incredibly powerful, Isaiah has just phrases upon phrases that truly are a game changer. One in particular, I remember I had a couple of popping out of the body and back in during all the treatments and throughout my life. One time this happened, the Lord took me to a banquet, and there was a banquet, and it was this table that was as long as I could possibly see to the right and the left, and it was on the top of a mountain range. And it was full of just foods beyond what I could possibly imagine. I remember looking to my left, and there was one or two people to my left, and at the head of the table was Jesus. And everybody was laughing, and I saw people that had already passed before me across the table and down the table from me. And there was this profound sense of connection and fellowship. And I remember just laughing and just the joy in my heart and the connection to Christ. And then all of a sudden, it was as if everything stood still, and I was looking right into the face of Christ. And I was laughing, and I said, well, it must be time for dessert. And Jesus turned to me and said, Lauren, he said my name, I remember, it's not time for your dessert yet. And as soon as he said that, I literally flipped out of that experience back into my body, and it was like really dark. And I remember trying to figure out where I was. And I was aware of how tight this body is. And I was told, because oftentimes it takes me a while to come out of anesthesia. And I was told in this situation that I kept talking about a banquet, that I wanted to go back to the banquet. And that's actually, you can read about the banquet on Isaiah chapter 25, 6. And I didn't know that there was a verse in the Bible as long as I've been following Christ since I was 17, and I never remember reading a verse about the banquet. But I was a week or two later, I was flipping through my Bible, and I opened up to Isaiah 25, chapter 25, verse 6, and it says, on this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. And I literally brought me to my knees because that's exactly what I experienced. So Isaiah is full of a lot of prophecy and a lot of power, but let's bring this back to our topic for today. How do I discern a heart connection with God? When he called each one of these prophets, as you saw with Moses, as you see with Isaiah, as we're going to read through this, he touches their mouth in some way. And I found this very profound when I was reading through and seeing the connection between these three rock star prophets, Moses, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphims, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. So this is Isaiah's response to this vision. Woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. This is our message today. The tongue, the lips, what flows out of our mouth. Keep a guard over our mouth. We're told many times throughout scriptures, guard your mouth, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. There is a heart connection that Jesus talks about that we'll get to. The heart is connected to the mouth. For I'm a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips. Does this sound familiar? And my eyes have seen the King of the Lord Almighty. Instantly, and this is what God did for Moses, instantly he provided a solution. Instantly, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 6, God doesn't waste any time. God's healing is not confined by time or intensity, as we saw with the man who was crippled for 38 years, the woman who was bleeding for over a decade of her life. There's no, the man who was born blind, there's when this time for healing has come, it comes now. And we're focusing in on healing of our mouth today, healing our mouth. And in verse 6, it says, then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. Now, this is from the altar of God. So it's holy. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Drop the mic. That's it. Instantly, he has courage before God. His mouth is healed. Obviously, it's connected to his heart, as we'll learn what Jesus said. So the mouth goes into the heart. The heart comes out of the mouth. In terms of the flow, it starts in the heart, comes out of the mouth. So what happened here with the touching of Isaiah's lips is his soul was healed. His sin was atoned for. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Put yourself in Isaiah's situation there after this profound vision. You are made acutely aware of the sin, meaning the behavior in your life that does not glorify God or has not glorified God. It's literally laid before you like a wide open grave. And it's paralyzing until the grace of God swoops in. The seraphim flew to him instantly with a live coal. A live coal, not a dead one, a live coal. You've got to look at these words very closely. Touched his lips, his guilt is removed, his sin is atoned for. Now he's ready to go forth. So again, to sum up Isaiah, where does God go? Goes to the mouth before he's ready. Just like Moses, before Moses was ready, what's the commonality here? The mouth was clean. The heart was cleansed. It's the heart-mouth connection to God. How to discern a heart connection to God? Look at your mouth. Now let's turn to Jeremiah, our third rock star prophet. What do we know about Jeremiah? I'm going to read something powerful from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. So we know that he's a rock star prophet. He was actually known as the preaching prophet. He spoke of Jesus as well. And he condemned a few different areas. He condemned idolatry. That means, worshiping the shiny objects in life, whether it be a car, your cell phone, social media. Idolatry, what is coming before your relationship with God? What does the Holy Spirit bring up for you today? What are you spending more time or giving free rent to between your two ears that's taking up more of your focus than on your desire to glorify God in what you do personally and professionally? The second one is greed. That's the focus on self. I need more. I need more attention, more affirmation, more money. This greed is a slippery little serpent and has many different manifestations. False prophets. Who are you giving power to in your life? Who are you giving power to or allowing to exert influence over you? And the failure to trust Yahweh, the failure to trust God. So these are just some themes that Jeremiah speaks about through the book that God wrote through him. These are some themes that you're going to see as you read through the book of Jeremiah. But for today's purpose and the simplicity of today's topic, how to discern a heart connection to God and its relation to your mouth, let's read chapter 1 of Jeremiah, verse 6 through 9. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. This sounds familiar. He must be related to Moses. Because here we have Jeremiah saying the same thing. I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. That's his excuse. Now, Moses' excuse was, I'm slow of speech. So what's your excuse? I was thinking about this the other day. What's my excuse for not really standing for God, speaking his truth in love? Ah, sovereign Lord, Jeremiah says, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you to say. Don't be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. So that was the commission. Again, we see that relationship between being touched and connected to God with the heart and the mouth, how to discern a heart-mouth connection to God. What does that look like for you? Perhaps you recognize yourself in these scriptures, particularly in verse 7. The Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. My coaching question to you today is, what negative talk or script do you keep repeating between your two ears? I invite you to hear God speak to you. Do not say, and then just fill in the blank. What have you been saying to yourself that is self-defeating, that causes you to shrink back from the calling of God, from the plans he has for you? What is it that you keep saying to you, to yourself, that's sabotaging your ability to feel the fear and go for it anyway, to have your way be confidence and love in Christ? What is that for you? This is an invitation to do less of that thinking and asking the Holy Spirit to free you. Renounce that negative thought form in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and replace it with a declaration. And you can use the scriptures from Jeremiah. Do not be afraid of them, dear God, even though I think less of myself and I don't think I'm capable of doing this, whatever this says, I'm willing to believe that you are. So give me the grace not to be afraid of what other people might think or say, because you are with me and you will rescue me. So you're praying the scripture over that deficit of thinking so that you can experience that power that comes from God reaching out his hand and touching your mouth. What does he want to touch your mouth about today? Perhaps it's complaining. Complaining actually, in science, shrinks the brain. When you complain or you hang out with complainers, it actually shrinks the hippocampus part of the brain. The frontal cortex restricts, and therefore you're not able to tune into available solutions to a situation. You're tossed into the back part of the brain, or referred to it as animal planet, where you only have three choices: fight, flight, freeze. Fight, flight, freeze. So what is it for you today? Is it complaining? We know that God opened the earth and swallowed up complainers. Complaining is referenced throughout the scriptures. God does not look fondly on complaining. Why? Because it comes from a place of pride. I think I deserve better. Something should have happened to me rather than this other person. I'm not going to up my faith factor. I'm just going to stay in complaining. I remember I struggled with this when I was diagnosed with advanced cancer and I lost my hair and my eyebrows, my eyelashes, my breasts. And there were some complaints that came out. I don't even recognize myself. And I would hear God respond to that. But I do. I do. I recognize you. And that's enough. So what is God calling you out of today? Use that reflection in Jeremiah chapter 1 and see where you recognize yourself. God is reaching out his hand to touch your mouth to free you from something today that is keeping you in bondage. Same theme, different stage. So we just went through three rock star prophets: Moses, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will stay in perfect peace, him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you." Trust in the Lord forever, forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. That's right from Isaiah's mouth after God touched his mouth. Isaiah 26:3, "You will stay in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." That's a powerhouse verse to talk back to the devil when he's trying to get you to pull up a chair and a big fat bag of popcorn and sit in front of a thought form that just keeps repeating, or a false belief about yourself that keeps repeating itself. He wants to entrap you. Jesus wants to free you today, right now. He wants to free you. You're the gatekeeper of inviting that freedom in so that you could be delivered. Let's flip now to the New Testament. What does Jesus say about the heart and the mouth connection? Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. No good tree bears bad fruit. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. If you're reading along with me, circle that heart. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. The good man brings the good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his mouth, of his heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So there we have it. The connection between the heart and the mouth. And Jesus spoke about this too. It's not what goes into a man that makes him unclean. It's what comes out of him, what comes out of the heart. Jesus is all about healing your heart. He did it for Moses. He did it for Isaiah. He did it for Jeremiah. And he wants to do it for you. So what is it that he wants to heal from your mouth? Because that's directly connected to your heart. That's that heart connection. Romans 10:9 also gives us another powerful piece of information. St. Paul says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, mouth and heart again, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So the confession comes out of the mouth based on the belief that's in the heart. That God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I remember when I was 17 and I read this and I thought, wow, Lord. It's that simple. Help me to believe, because I want to believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead because I want to be saved. And so I'm going to confess that you're Lord out of faith, that God raised you from the dead and set you at the right hand of Him, Yahweh, and that you adore me. So if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Him, Jesus, from the dead, you will be saved. Looking at Luke and looking at Romans, there are many other, there are tons. If you just Google, or if you just do your own research on verses that address the mouth and the heart, you'll come up with some great food for your soul. I've just pointed out God's encounter with the mouth and the heart of three major prophets, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah. And Jesus, the Son of God, speaks to the connection out of the overflow of the heart. The mouth speaks. So let's bring this home. How does this relate to you? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, Jesus was saying this as part of the Sermon on the Mount, Luke chapter 6. Jesus was putting it in the context of giving many different teachings. And this context, Jesus reveals how we can discern a person's character. This is how you can discern a person's character and your character. Luke 6, 43 through 44, which is prior to the actual statement, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We recognize good trees bear good fruit. Bad trees bear bad fruit. So what's bad fruit that can flow out of a heart and impact, right? Set that forest on fire, like Paul says. Basically, cursing men. What does that look like? Well, bitterness. Is there anything in your life that God is moving you to forgive, that is creating bitterness toward another human being? That's a matter of healing the heart so the mouth can shift the speaking. Another area of bad fruit is when you're storing bad fruit against self. This is Satan's playground. He wants you to not love yourself. He wants you to hate yourself. He wants you to feel like there's no hope. He wants you to be hijacked by shiny objects. And when things don't turn out the way you want them to, that you think it's a direct influence on your value. Lies, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are beautifully and wonderfully created in a God who adores you. And He is constantly after your well-being. Constantly after you. Like a shepherd seeking that one sheep that wanders off. He's after you today. He's after your heart because He knows when He touches your heart, your mouth is going to be healed. He goes through the mouth as He did with the prophets. Now that He's risen from the grave and left us with the Holy Spirit, He goes right for the heart. So invite Him into your heart today to transform any bad fruit that you're harboring inside, anger, judgment, hateful judgment toward other people, toward yourself and others, shaming, blaming, unkind thoughts toward other people. Sarcasm is another bad fruit. That's the definition of sarcasm, is actually cutting the flesh. That's when you say you do something and it hurts someone's feelings and you simply say, oh, I was just kidding. Satan has a heyday with that. And then the person feels embarrassed. They're like, oh, I knew that. That's sarcasm. Be very careful of that. It's bad fruit. It offers all of this self-reflection, offers you discernment of the character that you're giving free rent to, that is creating bad fruit that God desires to free you from. So ask the Lord to do some pruning for growth today. Dear God, what do you want to prune out of my life that's bad fruit? That's causing me to say words that are cutting down the people you've created. I give you permission to cleanse my interior world, beginning with my heart. I desire that my heart be occupied by you, that you sit on the throne of my heart. I invite you in to be the Lord and the Savior of my mind, my will, my emotions, the words that come out of my mouth. Have your way with me, Lord. have your way with me today. Give me the grace of discernment too, so that when I see evil coming out of another person's mouth, that I can pray for the condition of their soul. When I'm witnessing ugly words coming out of another person's mouth and actions that are ugly as well, help me to separate the person from the bad behavior, to pray for them, but also not to be deceived, to use this to recognize the fruit that I observe, to have discernment and wisdom, to know who I can trust and who am I allowing to exert influence over us and over me. Give us that discernment, God, so that I can prune the relationships from my life that are fueled by bad fruit. And I can prune the bad fruit out of my own life so that I can hear clearly the words behind me saying, this is my way, walk in it. And to clearly feel you touch my lips today, Lord, to cleanse my heart, because I want to be sent. I too want to be worthy to be sent like Isaiah desired. Send me out, Lord. Send me forth. Just as you did Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Moses. Lord, thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit within me to give me discernment in my life. I pray that I would see what you want me to see, hear what you want me to hear, and respond to what you want me to respond. And that you would give me a clean heart so that my mouth would reflect good fruit and witness and make you recognizable to the people you have entrusted to my care. Help me to discern. Give me the grace to know what's in my heart. And I give you permission to bump me, make me feel uncomfortable so that I confess what's in my heart with my mouth so that I can be cleansed and in relationship with you. I love you, Lord. Thank you that you are after me, that you are never satisfied with mediocre behavior. The status quo. You have given me the ability to scale walls and climb mountains. Cleanse my heart that my words, my mind, my heart, my mouth would declare your praises. So that when I stand before you and I sit at that banquet table, I will be able to look in your eyes and hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. In your most precious name we pray, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, give them heaven out there. There's enough of the ugly talk that's going around. I encourage you today to stop it. Step away from complaining, ugly talk, gossip, slinging bad words. Ask God to cleanse your heart from all seeds of gossip, ugly talk, judgment, slander, sarcasm. Step away from the social media platforms that trigger you into the places of bad fruit, anger, taking offense, not of God, all linked to bad fruit. Give them heaven out there. Thank you for pausing today to edge God into your life. And my prayer for you is that you continue to know how much God adores you. And he desires a closer relationship with you every breath you take. Again, join us at our Facebook page, Edge God In, the podcast app. You can join to get the latest podcasts or edgegodin.com. Enjoy your gift of life today.